should never be a source of discouragement, but rather a fresh stimulus. Hello, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, are you feeling discouraged today? You know, it happens to all of us from time to time. But Kenneth cautions us to beware, because discouragement can be contagious. Things will not always turn out the way we want them. Sometimes our actions will feel like outright failure. But at those times, Kenneth Wong says God is working everything together for our good, so that our disappointments become God's appointments for us.
Hello there, everyone. I'm really glad to be with you again. You remember we just concluded a two-part series on No Worries, and that's based on a familiar expression in some parts of the world. Well, we're calling today's talk and tomorrow's No Problem, and that's a local expression that we hear very frequently uttered. But just like we say No Worries very lightly and glibly, so we say No Problems in the same way. We still have our worries with us. We still have our problems with us, except that they may not be so obvious or known to others. I'm using this expression for our title, No Problem, as I'm going to talk about discouragement. And discouragement can be a serious and a major problem because it robs you of the capacity to deal with other problems. And like worry, it can worm its way and infiltrate us and eats into our system without us realizing how pervasive it has become. And for this subject, we are going into chapter 4 of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is actually Paul's most personal letter to the churches. And we are going to take the theme of discouragement from a phrase that he uses, which is faint not, in the old version of the King James, or in the New King James from which I'm now reading, it's do not lose heart. Just as in the same way, we considered the subject of worry based on the phrase fret not or do not fret found in Psalm 37. Now we come across this phrase faint not or do not lose heart right at the very first verse of the chapter, which therefore forms the keynote for the whole chapter. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, or we faint not. So it starts with that keynote, and it ends with the same keynote towards the end in verse 16, where he begins the last three verses of the chapter this way. Again, therefore, we do not lose heart, we faint not, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So all that's in between is sandwiched between these two occurrences of the phrase and the exhortation. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not get discouraged. We do not faint. And notice in the first verse we have read, it begins by talking about ministry. Since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We can never underestimate the vulnerability of anyone to discouragement. It's a very common problem that makes people ineffective and unproductive. And this is applicable to ministry as well as to life. For example, if you just apply it to the ministry of preaching the Word of God or teaching the Word of God, we can worry and get discouraged easily before, during, or after preaching and teaching. It can happen at any point along the line, and those who are used to doing it will understand what I mean. And so it is with life and with any other form of ministry. There is just no way to encourage or to edify, build up others, if you're discouraged yourself. So we need to beware of discouragement and to recognize it when it turns up because it's contagious. Now I want to talk about two aspects of discouragement in our passage today. And I'm going to use some unusual subtitles. In the first aspect, I will call it cave-ins. And you'll understand what I mean by and by. Well, the word here that is translated faint or lose heart really means just that. It's to cave in or to turn out badly. So there are two aspects here. The first part, the former, to cave in, suggests an internal structural collapse. This is what we call an implosion, as opposed to an explosion, which is external. You're exploding within yourself when the system cannot take the load or the stress anymore. There is an internal implosion, a structural collapse. So that's what caving in means. Or it can mean to turn out badly. This latter expression suggests an external situation. It may be an affliction, a trouble, or some kind of a problem. And an inadequate or incapacitated response to these situations is to lose heart or to give up. Now, there is another word that is used in the Bible that is also translated faint or lose heart or discouragement and is used elsewhere other than the passage that we have just read from. And it will be useful also to consider these. That other word means to relax, not in the good sense, but in the sense of loosening up or getting dissipated. For example, it is used in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, where it reads, "For consider him," that's consider Jesus, and I like that very much because it says that the required response is to consider Jesus first, not the problem, not consider your own disappointment. "For consider him," consider Jesus, "who endured such hostility from sinners, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." So that's our word. It's to be loosened up, to be broken up, to be totally dissipated. So it's not relaxing in the good and therapeutic sense, but it's breaking up, it's cracking up and falling apart. And that's not something good. Now let's think about, why do we get discouraged? Let me suggest some stress factors or stress concentration points. We get discouraged when there is, first, no solution to the problems we face. We are facing obstacles, difficulties. We face resistance and opposition. And when there's no solution, we get discouraged. Secondly, we get discouraged when there is no result for the effort we put in. We keep slogging away, but there's no recognition or reward. And we meet with no success. Nothing seems to be moving, and we get discouraged. Thirdly, we can get discouraged when there is no improvement to a situation which is already deteriorating. And instead of improving, it gets worse. And that can be very discouraging. So the question is, how do we keep from caving in? How do we keep from losing heart, from fainting, from getting discouraged? That's the question. It's not what the external trouble or situation does to you that matters most, but what it does in you. Not what it does to you, but what it does in you. That's critical. And that makes a difference. Whatever may happen, let it drive you towards God, not away from Him, because the two are in totally different directions. And remember, it's your destination that determines your direction. And it's of absolute importance that you get your destination as well as your direction right. If you are set and headed for God, then nothing that can happen can work against you. In the hands of God, they will work for you. This is that great promise that is given to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And that's a simple scriptural definition of all believers, those who have committed themselves to the Lord Jesus, those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. So if you count yourself as one of these, this is something you must know. We know that all things, not just some things, but all things work together for good because God is the one who is working it out. So even though things for a time may seem to be working against you, in the hands of God, they are included under the all things that will work for your good as long as you belong to Him. Things may not turn out right or even badly in your own estimation, but He can work it out for good in us. Things will turn out right in God. It has often been said that our disappointments can, in fact, be God's appointments. So do remember that. The question is, am I willing to accept all this as from His hands? And if I commit myself to Him in His hands, I will be able to see it worked out. Did you know that most of life's greatest lessons are learned in a school called the School of Suffering, or in short, SOS? It doesn't matter if you haven't been to Bible school or graduate school or any other kind of school, but this is one school that God often uses to teach us life's greatest and deepest lessons. And we won't learn these anywhere else. But we need to humble ourselves and learn it from Him, to allow Him to train us and to mold us into His image and likeness. So that's the first thing, cave-ins. Now, the second area that I want to talk about comes in from verse 7. And I will just call this by another unusual subtitle. Let's just call it clay pots. And back to our main passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read about this in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, or in some versions, the word used is jars of clay, or in other words, clay pots, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. What a strange and unusual analogy this is. Notice it is not nice, beautiful, oriental, ornamental jars, you know, Ming vases to be displayed or admired for their looks on the outside that is in view here. He's talking about jars of clay, earthen vessels, just common clay pots, but they contain some treasures of worth within. Now, notice this is the point. What is of value is not in the container, but in the content. Now, this reminds me of good Chinese dishes which are cooked in good old clay pots. There are many such dishes, including exotic names like eight treasures or whatever they may be. But what's of value, what you're after, is what is inside that clay pot, not the pot itself. In fact, they are often cooked in old, cracked pots blackened with soot, especially those sold at old roadside stalls. And in fact, the blacker the pot, the better the food inside. So this is what it means when it says in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It surpasses all our natural ability to cope. When other people see the frailty and the ordinariness of the vessel that we are, with all its cracks and blemishes, all the glory and the attention goes to God and not to us. When only God can do it or can account for it, when it's beyond our own natural ability to do, that's how you know that the power is of God and not of man. But so often we long and we pine to be some exquisite vase instead of a common clay pot. We want to be in that showcase, to be admired, rather than to be used in the hands of God. Well, how is this realized in experience? It's through great pressure. Because great pressure produces great power if it is channeled rightly, just like steam in the old steam engines. Otherwise, stress concentration occurs. You know, in the area of structural analysis and design, you will always find stresses concentrating in sharp corners or discontinuities. And that's what happens. When we get stuck in a rut, in a corner, stresses begin to form and to accumulate. And if you're not careful, in time to come, these become the cause for structural failure, cave-ins, as we have earlier considered. But on the other hand, pressures, if they are handled rightly, can lead to increased capacity and strength to cope. Now, in verses 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find a summary of what may be considered problems or problem situations which are supposed to bring us down, but which the Apostle Paul declares and he demonstrates by experience as down but not out. And here we find him quoting not scripture, but his own experience. There are four sets altogether, each beginning with a problem or problem situation beginning with P, and then in a situation which is supposed to bring us down beginning with D, but can be otherwise, can be overcome if we press on with the Lord. Let me first read them to you as they are found in verses 8 and 9, and then we'll summarize them. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And here is a summary of these four pairs. First, pressed or pressured, not distressed. Second, perplexed, not despairing. We may not understand all the time, but we can always trust. Now, it's interesting to note that the Greek word that is translated despair here is actually exaporeo. Exa means out of, and poreo has the root from poros, which means a way through or a passage. And if you put them together, it simply means to have no outlet whatever. And there are some situations where we may find ourselves with utterly no way out. And this is the situation that he's talking about. In the very first chapter of the same letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia." In other words, he wants them to know, to realize, and to understand something about this school of suffering that they went through, and no doubt which they themselves will have to go through sometime. "That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." And that's the same word there. So these are the first two pairs, pressed, not distressed, perplexed, not despairing. And the third is persecuted, not deserted. It's not the end of the world. Remember the last words of Jesus to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the age." And the fourth pair or set is pummeled or put down, but not destroyed. So it's as if Paul is taking the trouble to show us from four different angles or perspectives what it can be like when we are put through the grind and tempted to be brought down, but not out. And how was he able to do this? Well, the answer is given in his own words in the same letter, 2 Corinthians, further on in chapter 9, and this wonderful verse 8, which explains the allness of God's ability, if I may put it that way. It reads, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." It is when I'm unable that I discover that God is able. When I begin to say, "I can't," then I begin to hear God say, "I can." As Charles Haddon Spurgeon said very succinctly, "Man's extremity is God's opportunity." What a wonderful allness of his ability expressed and encapsulated in this one single verse, "All grace, all ways, all sufficiency, all things." You can summarize it this way. God gives all the grace we need, which is all sufficient at all times and in all situations. We should move from the amazing grace that we first experienced to an abounding grace, even in the midst of troubles and pressures. And the last stanza of an old favorite hymn of mine by Frederick W. Faber says it all. "Ill that he blesses is most good, and unblessed good is ill. And all is right that seems most wrong, if it be his sweet will." And it's a really good thing to commit ourselves to be refreshed by the Lord's presence and to be reached by his word.
Well, Well, we can be confident of everything Ken has said, because our great trust is in God through Christ. Now, it is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall, in partnership with TWR Asia. And tomorrow, Kenneth Wong brings us part two of No Problem. And I invite you to join us then. Right now, though, we'd love to hear from you. Won't you take some time and maybe send us a text message? 9431-3813 is the number. 9431-3813. Or if you prefer snail mail, Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915-714. Of course, you can always visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia. There you'll find more information about the program. And if you choose, you can listen to the program online or download it to your smartphone or MP3 player. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.